It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store.
We are rolling.
Hey everybody, so welcome to episode 22 of Breaking In on Christmas Eve. I'm Manny, and
I'm back.
Yes, Cheryl. Happiness. Cheryl is back.
Good to be back.
Yes. I assume you have not listened to last week's episode.
I did not. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I heard the reviews.
Yes. Yes. We're very it's very nice to have you back. So we had a lot of stuff to talk about last week, but of course you were out of town, so we couldn't. So we have a lot of things to talk about this week. Golden Globes came out, Blacklist came out. We've kept up with not as much as we should have, but we've been watching a shit ton of movies. So I figured we would start with what we've been watching, mm-hmm. talk about that a little bit, and then kind of go lead that straight into the Golden Globes.
Okay.
So let's start with last week's movie, which we obviously didn't get a chance to talk about, Zero Dark Thirty.
Right.
Go. I have things to say, but I want to hear. We actually haven't talked about it yet.
Right. I think they could have done more with it.
How so?
I think I envision more that more soldiering stuff. The whole camera on the helmet, going, you know, that kind of mission mode.
Right.
When there was kind of one, two missions we saw.
One, two. You're right. Yeah.
So I guess I was looking more for that because I already get the politics behind it. So basically they were showing you a lot of the politics of.
Well, let's set it up. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. The raid on the if you don't know what Zero Dark Thirty is about, you're probably living under a rock. But it's basically the hunt the hunt for Osama bin Laden. And the last, I'm going to say 30 minutes, maybe even only 20 minutes, is the raid on the compound.
Right.
And spoiler alert, the movie's over when bin Laden is shot dead.
So yes, but going in, I mean, if that scene was true, that would be pretty awesome.
Let's hold off on that because okay. I have something I want to say about the end scene. But for 2 hours and 15 minutes leading up to that, it's a manhunt. It's, oh, he might be over there. Let me go talk to this guy. He might know what's going on. He doesn't know. No, you know what? I think he knows, so let's waterboard him. No, he didn't know, but he knew this other guy who knows some stuff, so let me go over there and talk to that guy.
Well, you know what? You're talking about people internationally. You're not talking about a cop in New York City who's going, Fifth Street, guy down 10th Street. A guy in Istanbul, a guy in Pakistan, a guy in...
Right, but I mean, that is the movie, though. I mean, it.
Yeah, it is. It's literally tracing it from country to country.
Right.
Trying to track him down. But the movie is over 10 years. So over 10 years.
Right. So the end sequence. Now, this is not a complaint. It's a good thing, bad thing. I felt like the end, quote unquote, action sequence, when they actually raid the compound, was very procedural. It wasn't actually heightened for movie magic. It was boom, you know, we're gonna go in. It was very silent because that's what they had to do. They went in at night. It was the whole, you know, patting on the shoulder, moving forward. There was no dialogue.
Right.
They were using silence weapons, so it was pop pop. You know, I mean, there was no...
Okay, is that a good comment or a bad comment?
That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of just describing it. Some people think that that's good. That it was real life. It was real life.
Yes, I agree. Totally agree.
I'm saying that for all of this build up into this raid on the compound, I was sort of expecting a little bit of excitement, but it wasn't actually really exciting. It was
going to this room, clear that. It obviously makes sense because were he to keep a large army around him guarding himself,
right?
It would have been a, then they would have went, aha, he's there. He was trying to stay low-key, just living with the family.
But I'm just talking about...
it was. They had a, you know what, and I don't even know if that's true, because one of the helicopters crashed.
Yeah, that is true.
So, yeah, that was drama. Yeah. Shit, and they handled it well. Everybody still went and did what they were supposed to do. Wait, I need to go kiss him before he dies.
So, best movie of the year?
No.
Do you have a best movie of the year yet?
I don't think so.
You haven't, there hasn't been anything we've watched where it was like, that is the best movie I've seen all year?
No, I want to say, have you heard me say that?
No. Okay. But you don't normally say that.
No.
I do.
Well, you say that, yeah, but you say that 3-4 times, so obviously it means nothing.
Touche. Okay, so moving on. Do you have anything else to say about Zero Dark?
No.
Okay, well, let's just briefly touch on, because the rest of the world seems to be touching on, the torture scenes. The waterboarding, how do you feel about that?
Well, I made my opinion clear. It's most CIA agents have come out and said, we gleaned no actual good information from people who were being tortured because they're just answering based on being hurt. And they didn't know any information. Right. All information was from people who were their informers, that they paid them.
Right.
Yes, that motivates people. Paying people motivates them more than throwing water in their face.
Right.
Amazingly enough. So. Well,
okay, but that's a comment on real life. I'm talking about the scenes in the movie.
They're actors. I looked at it and went, oh, that's, you know, Denzel supposedly did it in his movie for...
Safe House.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We're shitty. Hey. Catholics put heads on spears outside their walls. I know, but
I mean, so did you find those scenes to be disturbing? Are they disturbing scenes?
No.
Yeah, that, I guess
we've
that's
heard
kind
about
of,
it for years.
That's kind of where I wanted to get you. That it was just it's people are making it out to be like fucked up and horrible. And it's like...
Which is why we said no more waterboarding.
Right, yeah.
Yes. So that's already been taken care of. So it doesn't... Now?
Right.
Yes, I understand. It was shitty back then when I first heard about it. So...
Right. Well, I think... Still shitty. Actually, I think that's the other thing, too, is that when you're talking about a movie that takes place over 10 years and we've already lived those 10 years...
Right.
Waterboarding... Made changes. We're desensitized as an audience to those because that's that true. Was 10
which
years
sad,
ago.
Which is also sad.
Oh, agreed. Okay, so moving on. What do you want to tackle first? You want to tackle Les Mis or Django? Let's tackle Les Mis.
All right.
Because I don't think we'll have too much to say about that.
No. That'll be short.
What'd you think?
Well, one of my first comments within, I don't know, first 30 minutes, I said, wow, could they find any more people that can't sing?
Russell Crowe.
Like, went out of their way to find people who can't sing.
Russell Crowe is brutal.
Yeah,
unfortunately, he's in the movie
a lot. Yeah.
Okay, so let's make this clear right off the bat. This is not like Chicago. This is not like Moulin Rouge. This is a musical from start to finish. There is not, I think, maybe 5 spoken words.
Right.
Everything else is sung.
Right.
From start to finish, every line. We did our research after the fact and found out that the actors were actually singing live on set.
Which is amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Now, there are people in the movie that can act and sing.
Yes.
I think Anne Hathaway did a fantastic job.
Amazing.
Hugh Jackman
Great.
Absolutely great. I even want to, I hate to say this because I don't like her as a human being, but I mean, Amanda Seyfried kind of did okay too. Yes. She can sing.
Yeah. She's got one of those kind of, you wouldn't buy those CDs to listen to that type of singing.
Right, right, right.
Very a weird operatic kind of
voice. And she, you know, I mean, as horrible as Mamma Mia was, she was also very good in it.
Right, right, right.
So, I mean, she's got the skill.
I like her. I know you don't like her. I do like her. So,
okay, so you've never seen the play. I've seen the play a couple of times. So how did you even know the story, actually?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so how did you feel?
I think that it... great job at portraying.
How did you feel
the hardships?
How did you feel about a musical from start to finish?
Oh, I have no problem with I have no problem with a good musical.
Right.
That is, it's there's actually
and action if you're going to do it with any play, I mean, Les Mis is kind of the one to go to. Right.
Yeah. No, I thought they did a great job. You could see the hardship, the sadness, the 1% are stomping on everybody else. Yeah. Yeah, you get that.
Okay, so Russell Crowe was the weakest link.
Singing-wise. Acting-wise.
Acting-wise, oh, of course. I mean, he's...
Yep.
He's a pretty damn good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Best Picture?
New.
No?
New.
It's epic. It's huge.
I mean, that was huge. Great. I could see that as far as it's time period. It's like, oh my God, it's everything that is looks way too expensive.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off great, I think.
I mean, the opening scene alone with the opening musical number with Jean Valjean still in prison.
The ship? And they're pulling a ship in.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of it was green screen, but and you can clearly tell.
Yeah, the rope. I got a little annoyed by the rope action. That's just my own little stupid dude. No, you're not pulling it that fast. But, okay.
Right. Okay. So it's a great movie.
Great movie. I love it.
I don't know that it's.
I'm not going to watch it again.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I don't know if that's one you pull out.
Nope.
Happy Christmas and watch.
Okay. On the other hand, Django.
Hey, let's go into Django.
Anytime that comes on TV, it will be a movie that I stop at and watch over and over and over and over again.
Not for me.
Really?
Couldn't do it.
I'm okay with
I'm usually okay.
Get so wrapped up in that shit.
Here's my Quentin deal. I usually watch this movie the first time and think it's fucking genius. And then watch it like a lot right at the beginning to the point of where I can never watch it again. But I see the genius. With Django, there were parts in it where, and I even said so while we were watching it, there are parts where it's like, this scene already annoys me because it's going too long.
Right.
And I know it feels too long. Inglourious Basterds, that first time when they were in the basement, in that basement bar, and I remember watching it in the theater thinking that this is fucking genius. That scene I cannot watch now because it's so long and it's so much talking and there's nobody's moving the story forward at all. With this one, I could already tell those scenes. And I'm sure I'm going to watch it again.
Here's the difference. Mm-hmm. When you're repeating it, watching it on TV or whatever, that's one of the moments you go up and get a sandwich.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more comfortable watching it
that way. But see, those are things... I guess the point that I'm trying to make with this one is that those are scenes that I recognize later. I never recognized those scenes the first time.
No, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We literally went, too long, you just went over.
There was way too long.
You're not telling me anything.
I swear to God, it felt like 20 minutes, but I know it was only like two.
Right.
But there's the walk up, the ride up to Candyland, Leonardo DiCaprio's plantation. Right, right.
The 2 mile driveway that they literally followed them, just trotting on horses for 2 miles.
Yes. I don't know why he felt the need to be in love with that image.
No idea.
There was nothing
could have done it in,
visually
in,
appealing.
In, yeah. Two minutes.
A cut.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but okay. we saw the parts. But yeah. The parts that are good are really good. They totally make up for that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You get over that kind of shit.
I don't know. It's violent. Let's
totally violent.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was violent back then.
Would you go as far as to say that it was cartoonish violence?
No.
Not at all. Okay.
When she was getting whipped?
Oh, no. Yeah.
The guy was getting eaten by the dog? No. Yeah. No, no,
well,
no.
Well, yeah, but I guess I'm referring to, you know, you made the comment nobody's head explodes like that getting shot.
Right. Well, yes. Well, Quentin always overdoes. Yeah. Overdoes.
There's overdoing on the blood.
Yeah.
Be forewarned.
Apparently, people's heads contain gasoline.
Yes.
When they get shot, that's what happens. Yeah.
Be forewarned that the N-word is dropped like a gazillion times, but
as it was, as it back was, then.
Yeah. That is that kind of movie.
You know, and what I liked, actually, what's so shitty that he's getting picked on for that, because what I liked is that he showed that there was already a part of the country that had elevated to a point where we don't think about black people like that.
Right.
Just come over here and right. You'll be fine. And that, so it already showed that those people were completely ignorant and how obvious the rest of the world is not on board with them. We believe in gay marriage. So, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't think, obviously the movie opens up tomorrow. We're not going to affect it. I think people are either you dig it or you don't.
You're Quentin or you're not Quentin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you are Quentin, if you are pro Quentin, you're definitely not going to be disappointed.
No, there's some great lines.
My favorite scene from the script, because we have both read the screenplay too. I think we should talk about that. My favorite scene from the screenplay, which was hilarious because I told you after I read it and after you read it, I go, I love this scene, but I know that's the first scene that gets cut, actually made the movie. And my favorite scene was ultimately the scene with Jonah Hill, where the Ku Klux Klan members are having the bickering about the bags, I remember that.
The
eye holes.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, funny. But I mean, it had no point other than just making fun of the Klansmen and making them out to be very stupid. Right.
Which, again, how Spike is coming down on Quentin for saying the N-word in the movie so much and then doesn't recognize when he's making people who are ignorant look like dumbasses. How about you say that?
There's a news story out, so let's just touch on that came out, I think, yesterday, that Spike Lee is... First of all, Spike Lee has always had a fucking hard-on for Quentin Tarantino, so...
Not in a good way.
So,
in a rapey kind of way.
His comments are completely biased.
Yeah.
But he basically came out and said that Django Unchained is a disgrace to his ancestors.
Right. Because of the N-word being dropped. That's insane.
You know,
it's insane.
Spielberg has made like 3 movies about slavery, yet nobody comes out against him.
No.
It's
you know what?
If
they did, they wouldn't get as much airtime as Spike Lee does coming out against Quentin.
Right.
So it's a good plot, and for the record,
Spike Lee has said in the same interview that he has no plans to watch the movie.
Publicity,
which is retarded. I mean, seriously, this movie is nothing but
it's a movie.
The black man taking down the white man.
It's a movie.
Yeah, it's not racially charged at all.
No.
Anything else to say about that?
Well, how do you think Fox did?
Oh, I thought Jamie Foxx was awesome. Unfortunately, let's talk about the acting real quick. Christoph Waltz, I thought was better. Yeah. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Leonardo, what do you think about, and Sam Jackson?
You know what? Sam Jackson? Mm-hmm. Didn't even recognize him. It took me literally 2 minutes to watch him and go, holy, he did a smile and I went, oh my God, holy shit.
He had some serious makeup. They aged him because he was supposed to be
in his whole 70s. Demeanor though.
Yeah.
He did so good.
He did amazing.
He did great at that. I love that when I'm totally fooled.
Leo.
I hate Leo. He's okay. Another one on my shit list, but
why?
I'm trying to remember what he did. He did something really super shitty. Super stuck up shitty.
That sounds like
him. It was something like that. And literally, I remember the day I was saying that, I'm standing behind two gay guys at a supermarket, and they go, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, that's so gay, but funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, he did great. Yeah, he did great. Not denying that one.
Yeah. I mean,
he played the smarmy, southern, and ignorant asshole. Great.
He landed those lines well, too. Those ones that, like, again, we read the script and we knew that there were certain lines that were going to be said that was like, oh, that's, if it's acted the right way, that's, it's going to,
yeah, it's definitely it's actually polite. And yet it's not.
It's evil.
You're fucking daring somebody to do something in a polite way. Well, that's what the great conversation between both of them was. Everybody was real polite.
Right. But everybody had an ulterior motive.
Absolutely. And would kill you it would gut you in a second.
Right.
Not even just kill you. They would gut you. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, Jamie did well, but
I almost want to say three people who outshined him.
Who?
His wife.
This is, well, and she's literally only in the movie for,
I know, but her scenes
tops.
Were very, you could feel that.
Well, and Jamie, you know what?
Even though she wasn't in it, you knew for the last 3 years or 4 years what she was doing, what was happening to her, was.
Jamie Foxx's character was also very, because this is sort of a spaghetti western, he also had the disadvantage of already having the character that was the silent type. He was supposed to be the Clint Eastwood, the John Wayne character.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and Christoph Waltz was the talker, and he was the nodder.
And George Clooney.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he did it well.
No, he did great.
Yeah, he did great.
Great.
But in terms of...
That's what I'm saying. He outshined
enjoying,
him,
too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just enjoying acting on the screen, it was definitely Leo and Sam and Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, they stood out more.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of great segue for acting... moving into Silver Linings Playbook. Bradley Cooper did something other than being handsome.
So love that.
Yeah.
Two very sexy people.
And Jennifer Lawrence being
unsexy.
The other one. Yeah.
Being obnoxious, being annoying, being.
I would love to see.
And you bought it.
I would love to see Jennifer Lawrence actually win. I mean, that she delivers.
I want to say they both. You know what? That's what I want to give my vote for.
Silver Linings.
Yep.
Being the best movie of the year.
It was a great story.
Absolutely.
Great story. Very. You got into it, and they both did awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
you bought it. He was not the schmarmy.
I'm still sort of leaning towards Denzel in Flight for best actor, but. Cooper did, I mean...
That's too disappointing, I think. Flight is not going to go because it's too disappointing to the American people. It's not going to...
Well, no, I'm just his performance.
I know. It's just like gun control. It's one of those kind of...
Yeah.
Eh.
But, you know, I mean, look, anybody who has a dependency on alcohol, drugs, or is just a little off-kiltered. Usually those characters win Academy Awards.
Yes.
And Bradley Cooper has huge anger management issues.
He has to be tied, because if he doesn't take his medication, he is not right.
Yes, he's no, and you know what? I gotta say that Silver Linings was.
I want to say that's one of the most interesting movies we watched.
I didn't have any expectations going in.
No, I didn't either, and it was
other than I knew they both did what really well.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, I thought he was going to be shit in it. Actually, I did not think he could pull it off.
Well, I mean, you're used to The Hangover, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
the schwarmy, good-looking guy.
That anything I've seen in him.
Well, yeah, he's never played
a different part. Yeah, not my fault.
And yeah, I mean, De Niro was great.
yeah, he played a different part too.
Yeah,
more of a broken person.
He was definitely a broken person.
Not the I got this guy. Definitely not the I got this.
A different broken, because I mean he's played broken before.
Yeah, but he's always been the I got this.
Right.
I'll fix it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to handle his kid.
Yeah, no, or
or his family, or his life, or his job, or really anything. He has no grasp on anything.
No, he was, he should have been on medication. That could have been treated with medication, but he would never go as a character.
I'm assuming you saw that's what the connection they were trying to make, right? Did I misread that? Oh, yes.
No, that they were both in the same boat.
He was part of that way because of his father was that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But his father found a way to manage it with gambling, so.
Right. Sticking with the Jennifer Lawrence reference, which is not in the Academy run at all, but we also watched Last House on the Left.
Mm-hmm.
Or House at the End of the Street. House at the End of the Block. Whatever. House at the End of something.
I know.
It was a shitty B horror movie. Watch it if you got nothing to do on a Friday night.
It's
on HBO. Yeah,
there you go. Don't pay for it.
Don't pay for it.
Not sure why she did it, even.
So
she was a friend of somebody, I'm going
to
guess.
So things we have not gotten to yet.
Yes.
We still have Lincoln. Okay, so this is the hardest part. The hardest part is that every single movie that's like up for something or other is at least 2 hours and 45 minutes plus.
It's arduous. Oh shit,
well let's forget about what we haven't watched. Let's talk about the other one we watched that took us
2 days
to get through.
2 days to watch a movie. Seriously.
We finally watched The Hobbit.
I'm disappointed. You know what? In between watching The Hobbit, we watched
Return of the King. I watched
Lord of the Rings.
I watched Fellowship and Two Towers on my own.
Yeah.
And then you kind of came in.
And those were, I loved.
They're compelling movies.
They're very compelling.
I don't know what it.
Lots of moments of profoundness. And this was like it was literally a lot of walking.
Yeah.
A lot of walking. It didn't get interesting to the last 40 minutes, I want to say.
My big issue, and we just finished Return of the King before we started recording, and for whatever reason, I haven't really been able to figure out what my big issue with The Hobbit is, but I think it's the lack of scale. There's a lot of CGI. There's a lot of...
Yeah, for the 3D, partly.
Well, and when you look at, you know, the armies of Mordor marching on Helm's Deep, those are people in makeup. Yes, there's not thousands all of them,
those. Right, they've repeated the pattern.
But when the camera's on them,
they are people in makeup. Yeah.
Not the case in The Hobbit. No. It's a lot of CGI. I mean, the main bad guy is completely 100% CGI, yet his minions are people in makeup.
You know what? I didn't mind it so much. They did a really good job on his facial. I thought they did a really good job.
But I mean, so we were watching the extended version of Return of the King.
Right.
And when that guy comes out and that mouth, that is a real mouth. That is not CGI.
Big teeth guy?
Yeah. And
You're right. It's totally scary.
And I think that the world, too, felt like it was a lot of stage and the beauty of Lord of the Rings.
There.
Yeah, I didn't feel there at all. It has a different feel to it. It doesn't feel like it's as big, as grandiose as the other ones.
Right.
The storyline, whatever. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of walking.
Traveling.
And even the plights that, the hiccups.
And I don't remember it being that way in the books. I don't remember this one in particular being like you were bored along the travel. There was stuff to do while you were traveling, and you ran into the ogres and the this and the that and the...
Yeah, even the scene where they kind of run into trolls on the road is completely pointless. Like, it just doesn't feel like there's any...
No.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, we ran into some trolls and this kind of thing happened. And with everything that happened in Lord of the Rings, you knew there was going to either be a payoff or there was an importance to it within the trilogy of stories. This kind of just feels like a road journal. So that took us 2 days. So we haven't watched Lincoln yet.
And I already had, literally, what did we watch? 10 minutes?
No.
15?
No.
5?
Less than.
Well, speak, man. What do you have?
3.
All right.
Just 3 minutes.
So in the first minute, I had like 4 comments.
Yeah.
I was already having problems with it. It was so unbelievable. I got nothing. So basically, they banked everything on act like Lincoln. However, everybody else in the movie is just going to be random people that we like.
Well.
Do not fit character whatsoever.
Well, we haven't even really gotten into what the movie's
about. Oh, I already know. We're going to watch it.
Oh, I know we're going to watch it.
And I know I'm going to be like, why is she talking like that? Why is she saying shit like that?
Right.
It's like, what?
Right. We haven't watched Life of Pi. We haven't watched Master.
That.
We need to watch The Master. That's the L. Ron Hubbard movie. I feel like there's another big movie that...
I think so, too.
I don't know. Okay, so let's go into Golden Globe nominations, because you weren't here for that. So we haven't actually been able to discuss them. So let's just start at the top. Best Motion Picture Drama, our 5 choices are Argo, Django Unchained, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Argo.
I agree. Out of that list, definitely Argo.
That was a nail biter.
I think that one is Argo, Flight, and Silver Linings are kind of my favorites for the year in terms of just...
Argo was a lot of nail-biting. There was a lot of, like, don't go there.
Yeah.
Get inside. Stop talking so loud.
Okay, so best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark. Marion Cotillard for Rust and Bone. Helen Mirren for Hitchcock, which we haven't watched yet. Naomi Watts for The Impossible, which we haven't watched yet. And Rachel Weisz for The Deep Blue Sea.
I have no idea.
We
haven't watched enough movies for me to decide.
Actually, the only person that I want to talk about is Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark. Is that the best female performance? No,
not at all.
She
barely spoke.
She barely did anything.
She sat in the background.
She didn't sleep a lot. She was very tormented. Mm-hmm.
But literally, she sat in the background a lot and observed.
Yep. Agreed. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Richard Gere for Arbitrage, which you've seen and I haven't. John Hawkes for The Sessions. Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. And Denzel for Flight. It's probably going to be Daniel Day-Lewis. That's kind of just what always happens. But Richard Gere's performance, what did you think of that?
He was Richard Gere in every movie Richard Gere has ever been in.
So that's... John Hawkes was amazing in The Sessions. The dude had to act without moving.
Right.
So we haven't seen...
No, that would... You know what? And that's a heartstring whole movie kind of thing.
We haven't seen The Master yet.
I know.
Joaquin's amazing, so I'm sure that's going to be a performance. My pick here, of course, is Denzel, but Daniel Day is probably going to win.
Okay, how hard is it to act like a drunk and a drug addict with a job? How many movies have been done about that?
I know.
Okay, really you drove a train, you drove a taxi, you drove, what, you're a police officer, you were a... There have been a million movies about you have an important job and you're an alcoholic and a drug addict. A million. If they give it to him, that's stupid.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah, no.
They won't.
They shouldn't.
Best motion picture, comedy, or musical. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which we haven't watched yet. Les Miserables, Moonrise Kingdom, which we haven't watched yet. Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, which we're not going to watch. And Silver Linings Playbook. I assume you're going to go with Silver Linings with this here.
Currently, yeah, because I don't have I don't have all of those. We're missing two.
Yeah, it's probably going to go to Les Mis, just because the epic.
It is. It's epic. It is.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. Emily Blunt, Salmon Fishing, no comment. Judi Dench, Best Marigold Hotel, we'll get to that eventually. Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings. Maggie Smith for Quartet, which we're not going to watch. And Meryl Streep for Hope Springs. I got to go Jennifer Lawrence.
Agreed.
Yeah. Meryl Streep, close second. I thought she was great.
Oh, totally. Old
people's sex
movie. No. That was great. It was a good movie.
Well, I guess we can actually talk about this because we've seen all but two. Best Animated, Brave, Frankenweenie, Hotel Transylvania, which we haven't watched yet. Rise of the Guardians, which we haven't watched yet. And Wreck-It Ralph. My pick is actually Wreck-It Ralph for originality. But if I was going to go purely on beauty... kind of got to go with Brave because
it's going to be
Pixar.
Brave. Yes, it's going to be Brave.
Best foreign language film. There's no point in even going through
don't
these.
Care.
But I can tell you that it's probably going to be Amour.
Okay.
Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a motion picture. Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, and Nicole Kidman for The Paperboy.
Les Mis.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping for Helen Hunt. I thought she was great in The Sessions. I've heard that the front runner is actually Sally Field. That it's going to be between Sally Field and Anne Hathaway.
Wow.
We'll have to get through Lincoln to find out.
You're right.
How crazy she is.
No.
Okay, so this is going to be the talked about one. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Alan Arkin for Argo.
Ooh.
Leo for Django. Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master. Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. And Christoph Waltz for Django.
Ick, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. It's so hard. I really want to say Leo. But Christoph, I thought, was just as good, if not better.
And he had more scenes. I mean, he I mean, he opened everything with his whole
Alan Arkin is amazing in Argo.
He is, not too. Agreed. No, I agree. I'm going to go with him for Jenga.
For who? Christoph or Leo?
Yeah, Christoph.
Surprisingly, the front runner is actually Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln.
Which I have... if he does a strip dance, I guess it'll save it. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It does. He do his whole, I want a 10-mile radius of officers, and I don't want anybody getting out of this sector. If he does that, that's just him being him. That right. doesn't count.
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
Yes, we shall see.
I'm gonna go. I kind of want to lean towards Leo, but I think it would probably be Christoph Waltz.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Okay. Best director for motion picture, Ben Affleck for Argo, Catherine Bigelow for Zero Dark, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, which we haven't watched, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, and Quentin for Django.
Between Argo and Django?
I would really love... Well, okay. For the Golden Globes, Quentin has way more love with the foreign press, the Hollywood foreign press. So if he does win for directing, it's going to be a Golden Globe, won't win an Oscar.
Right.
I love Ben Affleck, and I think, you know, we've talked about this before. I think he's shown, I mean, the dude has made 3 really solid movies.
Yeah, seriously.
And it's time to start treating him as such.
Right.
And for the record, the past 2, Argo and The Town, he's both directed and acted in.
Right.
So... he's definitely shown his chops.
So your thing is, you think he'll get an Oscar, and you
no, won't get the I don't think he'll get either.
Yeah,
I the front runner right now is Catherine Bigelow for Zero Dark, and
that's retarded.
The second up is Spielberg for Lincoln. Lincoln's leading with the most nominations across the board.
I don't understand that.
You've only seen 3 minutes of the movie.
It's a story we already know.
I know.
All of the rest of the stories we're hearing in a different way.
Best screenplay. Mark Boal for Zero Dark. Tony Kushner for Lincoln. David O. Russell for Silver Linings. Quentin Tarantino for Django. And Chris Terrio for Argo. I think Academy... and Golden Globes, it's going to be Quentin across the board.
Agreed.
They hate him with a passion, but respect the fact that he's the best writer.
You cannot read that screenplay and not say that. You can't.
Yeah, so... best original score, who gives a shit? Best original song, who gives a shit? Okay, so let's talk a little bit of TV, which we don't normally do. But best television series, drama, Breaking Bad, Boardwalk Empire, which you watch, I don't. Downton Abbey, which we don't watch. Homeland, which we are going to watch this week at some point. And The Newsroom. Homeland's the favorite.
Really?
Yeah. Breaking Bad this season was... Eh. Agreed. Boardwalk, do you have any comments about Boardwalk?
I loved Boardwalk. It's so, you know, you...
I know.
I'm going to pick a certain show for you to watch. For you to see what level of disturbing, and it's kind of like, for me, it's like Django, that it shows the how horrific we were at some point, how we treated people.
Right.
It's just...
We both love Newsroom.
Yes. No.
From all episode out favorite.
One. So sorry they even took a break. I just wanted them to keep going.
Yeah, agreed. Best performance by an actress in a television series drama, Connie Britton for Nashville, which you watched the first episode, right? And then you tuned out?
Or did I've you watched stay? All the episodes.
Oh, you stuck with it?
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Close for Damages, which, have you ever watched Damages?
No. Yeah, I thought it got canceled. So I didn't go watch it.
Clara Danes for Homeland, Michelle Dockery for Downton Abbey, and Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife. You don't watch The Good Wife, do you?
No, that's another one I want to go back and watch.
So, okay, Connie Britton, Nashville, we love her.
No, nowhere near.
Yeah, okay.
No, she's not winning.
Claire Danes is the front runner.
Yeah, probably.
Homeland is...
Because Homeland's going to sweep everything else. So apparently we should watch it.
Which is why I got season 1 and 2.
All right.
Best performance by an actor, drama, Steve Buscemi in Boardwalk Empire. These are all the normals.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad, John Hamm for Mad Men, who has been nominated every year for that show and has yet to win, Damian Lewis for Homeland, who is the front runner, and the new boy in the category, which we both love, is Jeff Daniels for The Newsroom.
He was awesome.
He was awesome.
He was literally.
He's my favorite.
And not a Jeff Daniels character. You think?
No.
Another.
No.
I love when that they can remake themselves into completely. So you don't see any remnant of a previous character.
My go-to is Jeff Daniels here.
Me too.
But
it's been gone too long. Here's the problem, ADD. It's been out of commission for too long.
Maybe
it gets. That's what I notice. People have very short time
attention spans. Yeah,
they can't remember shit.
My favorite is Jeff Daniels.
If it wasn't yesterday, they got to think back.
I would like Michigan Boy to win, but my personal favorite is I would really like to see John Hamm win something.
Yeah, you know, as soon as you said that, I went, fucking give him one. Jesus.
And you don't watch Mad Men.
No, and it's already, Homeland has already beat it in popularity.
Yes. Yes.
So it's waning, and Homeland is
coming. Yes.
So this is it. He's not going to win if he doesn't get this.
Right. Agreed. Best television series, comedy, or musical, Big Bang Theory, which we love, Episodes, which we love, Girls, which we love, Modern Family, which everyone loves, and Smash, which is kind of thrown in there for...
That's kind of funny.
No, I'm Smash, no. I love that show. Not that I don't love it. I love it.
Okay, so does Episodes and Girls have enough mojo to knock Big Bang or Modern Family off of its perch?
I would not mind if Episodes did, but Girls. If Girls does, yeah. I'm going to be very upset about that.
Yeah.
That you're talking about a one-hit wonder. Let's wait,
yes, okay.
People.
Which you have.
Let's not give her the glory for all of these people who have already been doing this for years and are that good, are sustaining. You have one season under your belt.
Right.
One season. These people have been doing this and are still that popular.
Yeah.
After years.
That's actually a really good point. Longevity rather than the flavor
absolutely.
Of the week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The week.
You're Britney Spears, you shaved your head, you get to win? No. No.
And the Academy did that with Diablo Cody for Juno.
I know.
That was a fucking one-hit wonder. Okay, best performance by an actress in a television series, comedy, or musical, Zooey Deschanel for New Girl, which we love, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, who was hysterical.
That's a short show, and I laughed a lot.
A lot, yeah. Lena Dunham for Girls, which, again, one-hit wonder.
Comedy.
Tina Fey for 30 Rock, and, of course, Amy Poehler.
Has Tina Fey won before?
She has. I mean, 30 Rock is
all right.
At its end.
All right. She's done.
I would say if they decide to go with Lena, it's going to be because it's one-hit wonder status. I don't know. I kind of want to see Julia Louis-Dreyfus win.
Oh, totally. I do, too. That's very underrated show,
and
I think.
And that's another one where she's playing a character that she doesn't normally play. I mean, she's a hard ass at the same time being a complete fucking moron.
Right. But in control.
Yes, right.
A little bit, Elaine.
Yeah, a little bit, but not so much because she doesn't question herself as much as
Right,
does.
Right, right.
Really loud and squeaky. Best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy, or musical. You got your standard, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock. Jim Parsons for Big Bang Theory. Matt LeBlanc for Episodes, which, Don Cheadle for House of Lies.
Where is that show?
It's coming back. They're filming it.
Oh, they are.
They're filming it.
Okay.
Yeah, they're filming. They're in the middle of filming season two.
I like that show.
And Louis C.K. for Louis.
He'll win.
No, I don't know.
Yep.
I hope so. It'll probably be Jim Parsons. Big Bang Theory is a little bit more family friendly than Louis's odd sense of humor.
Well, we have it recorded, so we'll see who wins.
No, I agree. best miniseries, who gives a shit? Hatfields and McCoys will probably win. Or Political Animals. Did you ever watch Political Animals?
I did watch one or two.
Okay. Best performance by an actress in a miniseries or motion picture made for TV. The only reason to talk about this actually... Oh, no, actually, there's a couple of reasons. So Sigourney Weaver in Political Animals, which you that's the episode that you watched, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
Julianne Moore for Game Change. You saw Game Change, right? Where she played...
She did great.
Right.
Sarah it's Palin. Been too long ago.
Sienna Miller for The Girl, Nicole Kidman for Hemingway and Gjellhorn, and then Jessica Lange for American Horror Story Asylum. Does she get it this time?
No.
She gets it for the first one. I mean, obviously, she already got the award for the first one, but yeah. This season is not happiness.
No. She's
so you think
her Boston accent comes out when it needs to, but it's not consistent, so it flails. But she did.
So you're gonna go with Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actor in a miniseries. A whole bunch of people. Kevin Costner for Hatfields and McCoys. That'd be nice. Okay, so supporting actress and supporting actor. Hayden Panettiere for Nashville. Archie Panjabi for The Good Wife, who I think she won last year. Sarah Paulson for Game Change. Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey. And Sofia Vergara for Modern Family.
I would like Sofia not to win it this year.
Didn't she win it last year?
Yeah.
I feel like that.
Sarah Paulson. You know what?
Game Change.
No, I was thinking for Nashville.
Hayden? Really?
She's playing completely... I mean, I'm a Hero fan. Heroes,
yeah. I was too.
That's where I saw her. And she's completely... She's another one who's playing a different character. I think.
Okay. So, for supporting actor, Max Greenfield for New Girl. Ed Harris for Game Change, Danny Houston for Magic City, which we haven't watched, Manny Patinkin for Homeland, and Eric Stone Street for Modern Family.
I got nothing on that one. I
would, no, you know, it's yeah. probably going to be Eric Stone Street, but I'd kind of like to see Max Greenfield win. His Schmidt on New Girl is hysterical.
He's pretty much one of the most unique characters.
Yeah. So let's talk about things that maybe got missed, a little upset about. Flight for Best Picture. I know you don't agree with me, but I'm kind of surprised to not see that one around. A little bit surprised that Modern Family kind of lacked in the acting categories, as it's usually like, you know, all of them and one other guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I don't like that.
No, It makes us
they got it 1 year. Move on. They got their recognition. There are new people.
Biggest disappointment in terms of acting. Disappointed that no one from Happy Endings is getting any kind of play. I love that show.
I know.
All of the acting's good. The writing
is
good.
What season are they in?
They're in their third. I want to say third. And they've never watched
it. I know.
It's a cult. Nobody from Community.
Agree. That another one. Yes.
What else is sort of missing that we watch? As much as I like to see the John Hamms and the Bryan Cranstons and stuff like that, where's the Timothy Oliphant for Justified?
Ah.
You know, he's amazing. Walton Goggins, who plays the bad guy for most parts, is amazing. Where's his now?
Yeah, that is.
No Kurt Sutter, no Sons of Anarchy. We don't watch the show, but we know
it's awesome.
We've heard it's awesome.
No, I've watched a lot.
You watch more than I have.
Yeah.
But Sons of Anarchy. Bryan Cranston was good last season, but where's Aaron, what's his face?
Right.
The sidekick. He had a lot more to do.
Why is he getting nothing?
Right. And her, she was fantastic this season because the wife is sort of coming in a little bit more in terms of...
I don't know. I feel like they get lazy about who they pick.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just look at the ratings, and whichever show is in the top,
right,
we'll pick people from that.
And then the oddball ones that are kind of...
Throwing you a bone.
Right.
Yeah.
Girls being one of them.
Yeah. I need to wait and see what's coming up. I did some research. I'm very skeptical.
She's
got no range.
It's now been a couple of years without a nomination for Neil Patrick Harris for How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
No love for oh my god, how am I just blanking on his fucking name? Two and a Half Men.
Not Alan. Charlie Sheen.
No.
Right.
John Cryer.
Right.
Supporting. He's literally carrying that fucking show.
He is. He's. I want to say he's. I thought he was always the funniest one on that show.
Right. No love for him.
No. Once the show, it's ADD.
I know.
Once you become over 2 years old, we don't even watch you anymore.
Right.
But we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Okay. So, is there anything else that we didn't cover?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yes, we have more movies to watch. We will get through Lincoln, and then you can totally trash it next week. Well, no, next week is going to be our end of the year spectacular.
Or I will love it to death. Either one.
Or you will love it to death.
I might be wrong.
Never. Don't say it. It's recorded.
No, it won't be true, but I can say it.
So yes, next week will be our year end spectacular, our best of 2012. I think that's it for us this week. So glad to have you back. It's so much easier having a conversation with somebody than trying to talk to yourself. Yeah. And
yeah, you're not that interesting on your own.
I'm not that interesting
on my own. Just kidding.
No. I fully support that statement. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Sorry if we offended.
PC.
All eight people. Yes, happy holidays. For breaking in, I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Till next week.
Peace out.
On your own front door, sure it's Christmas once more.